Welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode number 20 of the Essential Tennis Podcast. Do you want to win more at your tennis? Do you want to win more points, more sets, and more matches? Do you want to beat people that you can't beat right now by improving your tennis game? Well, I know you do, because you've taken the time to download this podcast. Now you're taking the time to listen to it. And so I know that you want to invest in your tennis game. And that's why I'm here. That's why the Essential Tennis Podcast is here, to help you improve. Every week I do my best to give as much information as possible that is going to be a benefit to your tennis game, whether that has to do with technique or your mental game or strategy, fitness, equipment, whatever it has to do with tennis. I'm here to talk about it, answer your guys' questions, and I want you to get better at tennis. That's why the Essential Tennis Podcast is here. So thank you for taking the time to listen today, and I hope that you get a great benefit out of what you hear here in episode number 20. First of all, today, I want to apologize for not getting a podcast out this past Thursday. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that my wife and I just purchased a house here in Maryland, and that was 2 weeks ago that we closed on our home, and we've been living here for about a week, and we still don't have internet. And as somebody who's trying to get a website started and doing the podcast and all that, you can imagine how crazy that's been driving me. It's driving me nuts. And hopefully today it's supposed to get in, actually. We've had a hard time with our internet service provider. And anyway, long story short, that's why I didn't get a podcast up this past Thursday. Still without an internet connection here. I'm recording this morning on Monday, in hopes that by the end of today, we should have a connection. So hopefully you guys are listening to this or downloading this file later on today. Well, today I've got a great show lined up. We're going to talk about practice, how to build a practice session. How do you practice effectively so that you don't waste your time out there on the tennis court? A lot of tennis players have the tendency to, you know, get a buddy or a practice partner, go out there on the court and just kind of hit around, just hit the ball back and forth. Now, it's important to, to relax sometimes and just kind of enjoy the game and the sport. But I know that since you're listening to this podcast, you really have a hunger to improve. And I want you guys to know how to set up and build an effective practice session. So that's going to be the focus topic of the week. And if we have time, we're also going to get to the use of the non-dominant hand in your forehand ground stroke. We're going to talk about how to use your opposite hand during your setup for your forehand, during the swing, and then during your follow-through as well. Those are the topics of discussion for today.
And now it's time for the Essential Tennis Focus Topic of the Week.
Okay, so let's talk about having a good, productive practice session. How can you set up a good practice session for yourself and a hitting partner, or even more than one hitting partner? Well, let's start off with the warm-up. Warming up's very important. It gets your body moving at a slower pace, which helps you to avoid injury. It's a good way to start off doing something slow and relaxed, just to get your blood moving and get your body warmed up. That's why it's called a warm-up. What I like to do in college, and what the team would do together, was called a box run. And we would start up at the net, facing the net, and we would do a side shuffle, lateral movement across the net, facing the net, staying parallel as we move across the net, and side shuffle across to the other double sideline. Once getting to the other double sideline, we would then backpedal, again staying facing the net, all the way back to the baseline, then side shuffle across again, going back the other way, and then jog up to the net again. So you're making a box, you're running in a square while facing the net the entire time. And so you're working on all four directions of movement just at a nice slow pace. You're shuffling to the left, you're shuffling to the right, you're moving back, you're backpedaling, and you're moving forwards, you're jogging. This is a great way to warm up. I've seen pros do it before, and it's something that we did as a team at college to get warmed up and to get moving. You can also, during the side steps or the lateral movement, you can karaoke step and side shuffle. You can mix those up to have a little bit of variety. And on the way up and back, you can do some high knees. You can bring your knees up to your chest to work your quads out a little more to get those warm. And you can also do butt kicks, bringing your heels back to your butt as you jog up and as you jog back. As we did this, oftentimes, also one of us would bring a football, and we'd toss the football around from person to person to get our arms warmed up as well. And that's a great way to get your arm and your shoulder warm, is by doing a little bit of throwing. And throwing a football, throwing a spiral with a football, very, very closely resembles a service motion. So it's just a good way to warm up between the box run and just throwing a football back and forth. Once you've gotten a little bit warmed up, what I prefer to do, and I do this typically when I hit, and also for every lesson I teach, I start off with some mini tennis. Mini tennis is a short, soft, relaxed rally using just the service boxes. So both people are standing on the service line, or maybe a step behind the service line, and rallying back and forth at a slow, relaxed pace. And so the ball should bounce on both sides. This is not a volley rally, meaning that the ball stays in the air and the players are hitting at each other back and forth. The ball should be bouncing, and it's a short, mini ground stroke rally. Now, to do this correctly, you don't want to be taking a big swing. You should be kind of making a short, abbreviated ground stroke swing. So you should be turning to the side. You should be lifting the ball up with a slow topspin swing or a drive swing, lifting the ball up over the other side of the net and following through. It's not quite as big of a swing as you would take from the baseline, but you are using the same racket path as you would from the baseline. So it's a short, mini baseline rally. I strongly suggest that you and your partner pick a number. Usually I do up to 15 or up to 20 with my students without having to take the ball out of the air. So you're trying to keep the ball under control and, again, bouncing on both sides. Make sure you keep on going until you get a rally of 15 or 20 just to create a little bit of rhythm back and forth and get your timing worked out. And just to get comfortable and relaxed, it's a great way to start off. When you go and you watch a good practice for any sport, whether it's amateur or professional, you always see the players come out and do some kind of slow, smooth, relaxed motions back and forth. In baseball, you see players just play catch back and forth, starting off very short and then working their way back to a little bit deeper. Basketball, you see the players come out and they'll pass back and forth and do layups and shoot around. Never will you see a good athlete move out onto the court or onto the field or wherever they happen to be performing and just go right out of the box at full speed. That's a good way to hurt yourself. Plus, it's much better in terms of performance to start off slowly and relaxed and work your way up to a little bit faster speed. So my biggest suggestion for your warm-up is to start off slowly, make sure you're relaxed, get yourself warm over 10 or 15 minutes between the box run and throwing and your mini tennis, and just take your time with it. You don't have to rush and run out to the baseline and just start crushing ground strokes. It's not as effective of a warm-up and a way to prepare yourself for a good practice session. Okay, after you've warmed up correctly and you got yourself moving and your body's warm and you're ready to go, go back to the baseline and start to rally from the baseline, which is typically what I do first after a warm-up with my students and for my own practicing. And once you get going, you want to pick a stroke to work on at a time. And there's two ways that you can work on your game with a partner as you go out to practice. You can either do feeding drills or you can do a live ball drill. And the difference is a feeding drill is where one player is facilitating practice. He's feeding to the other player for the purpose of the other player getting the practice on their stroke. So one person is feeding, just staying in one spot and helping the other person work on their game by giving them a certain shot that they've been working on or that they're trying to develop. That's a feeding drill. So one player is practicing, the other player is feeding and facilitating a drill. What I think is better, I shouldn't say better. They're good for different purposes. Feeding drill is good if you want to isolate and very closely control the practice of a certain stroke. So if you're really having a hard time with, let's say, your backhand ground stroke, and keeping a rally going is tough because you have a lot of things on your mind and you're trying to work out some issues. Maybe you just made a stroke change and you're trying to get more comfortable. That's when you'd want somebody to feed to you and really control what type of shot you're getting. So that's kind of the same shot over and over, and you get a chance to get into a rhythm and get comfortable. Working past that is a live ball drill, and that means that you and your partner are actually hitting back and forth and continuing a cooperative rally. You're hitting back and forth for the purpose of practice. You're not trying to beat each other, but you're both working on a specific skill or a specific stroke and trying to improve. And that's a step past the feeding drill. Again, a feeding drill is a more controlled situation, and you want to use that for when you have something that's really bothering you or something that you really need to focus on, a particular part of your game, a particular stroke, and it's more controlled. A live ball drill is tougher to control because both players are hitting back and forth, and so you have a shared responsibility to keep control of the ball back and forth. And this is the type of drill you guys should be trying to do often and very regularly, because it's so good to work on your control to actually have a goal between two players and try to work through that goal and come to a spot together where you can actually control the ball back and forth. Now, as you do either type of drill, a feeding drill or a live ball drill, you want to make sure you have a couple of foundational things in place. First of all, you need to have a specific target. Please, please, please do not go out and do a feeding drill or a live ball drill without a specific target. The more specific you can make it, the better. Minimally, you need to be picking either down the line or cross court. So if you have a buddy feeding to you and you're working on your forehand, do not just hit your forehand and say, oh, that one was in the court, it was good. I missed that one in the net, or I missed that one long or wide. You need to have a specific place on the court where you're trying to hit your shot. At the very least, it should be one half or the other. You should be trying to hit down the line or cross court minimally, that you need to have at least that big of a target. Ideally, it should be a smaller target than that. You should be saying, all right, I'm going to practice my backhand ground stroke and I'm going to aim cross court and past the service line because I'm going to work on hitting the ball deeply in the court and hitting a solid stroke that is going to keep my opponent back behind the baseline. Or if you're working on maybe a drop shot or a volley that you're trying to angle off the court, you'll say, okay, I'm going to hit all my volleys to the side tee over on the deuce side. And so I'm going to take my forehand volley, I'm going to hit it cross court, and I'm going to aim for the side tee. So have a specific target. If you're smart, you'll go and get some small, you know, those orange traffic cones. Cones are great to aim for. You can get those at most sporting good stores, and they're used for soccer a lot of times. Get some small cones to aim for. And you can do that in a feeding drill or a rally drill. You and your partner can rally cross court forehands, for example, and on both sides of the court, place a cone in the middle of no man's land cross court. So, and each of you will have, for example, if you're doing cross court forehands, you'll have a cone in between the service line and the baseline, and over on the deuce corner, so that you each have a target to aim for, and you're both hitting forehands, trying to knock over the other person's target. That's an excellent way to practice. You both have a specific spot you're trying to hit. You're both trying to keep the ball in play over and over, and now you're both focused, and you're working towards a goal of actually trying to hit the ball in a certain spot instead of just hitting the ball without any objective. You need to have a specific objective and a specific goal when you go out to practice. Now, once you have a target that you're aiming for, I kind of got ahead of myself there. I said you need to have a specific goal. That's my next point. Once you have targets set up, you need to give yourself something to shoot for. So, for example, if you're working on your backhand down the line and your buddy is feeding to you, aim for that down the line side. So you'd be, if you're right-handed, you'd be aiming for the deuce side of the court over on the other half of the court. And what you need to do is give yourself a number to try to achieve, either in a row or a total number that you're trying to get to. So a lot of times in my lessons, I have people try to hit five in a row, past the service line and down the line in this example. So your buddy will keep on feeding you backhands. You're aiming past the service line and down the line over to the other side of the court. And you're going to keep on hitting those backhands until you've successfully made five shots in a row to that specific target. That way you're focused. Again, you have a specific target and you have a specific goal in mind, and you're not just mindlessly hitting balls. That way, when you go out and you actually play a match, you have that confidence of that repetition that you did in your practice. You can say, wow, well, the last time I went out and practiced, I hit 10 forehands in a row cross court. I did that a couple of times. Then when you get into a rally and you have your opponent over there on the other side, you have the confidence of knowing, great, I know that I can complete X number of shots in a row in the court without making a mistake. And guys, this is how you win points. You hit the ball in the court, you control where it goes, you have a specific target, and you are capable of hitting it there over and over. Once you're able to do those things, you're a player. Now you're starting to play the game. You're keeping the ball in play, and you can aim to a specific spot. These are the skills that the pros are using. Sure, the pros are hitting the ball hard, yes. They're hitting winners. They hit big, flashy shots. But let me tell you, without consistency and without the mental discipline of being able to keep the ball in the court over and over, power is absolutely nothing. So doing drills like this to build your confidence and to discipline yourself to being able to hit the ball in the court over and over is absolutely essential. This is something you guys need to be able to do. Another great cooperative drill is to add a little bit of competition to this. I mentioned before using little orange cones as a target. If you guys each set up a cone, let's say you're hitting down the line, and so one player is going to be hitting a forehand, the other player a backhand down the line, and you each have a cone you're aiming for, see who can hit the cone three times first and knock the cone over. And then put a little bit of something on it, maybe push-ups or Gatorade after your practice session. Personally, I think push-ups is great. Put 20 push-ups on it and play a game up to 3 points. See who can knock over the other person's cone three times first. And so now you've really got some great focus there, because both players are trying to win by being successful at hitting a certain spot. So you have a goal, you have a target, and you're also competing, that really brings up the focus and the concentration for a lot of players a great deal. So this is so important, guys. You need to understand how to practice. We're about halfway through our talk here, and I'm really passionate about this part of it. You need to be disciplined enough to go out there and complete a stroke and be able to do it again and again. And this is how you get good at that. Stroke work, whether it's feeding or live ball drill, this is stuff that makes you a better player. I want you guys all to be out there doing these types of drills to improve your tennis. I guarantee it will make you a better player. Okay, now on to the next part of our practice. We've gone over how to warm up correctly. We have talked about how to work on your strokes by having a target and by having a goal and being able to do it over and over. Now we're going to talk about competing in your practice session. This is an important part of your practice as well. After you've warmed up and you've worked on your strokes and completed your goals with your various strokes, your ground strokes, your volleys, your overheads, it's also important to get in competition as well, because that's what it comes down to. We're doing all this work trying to improve our games, and the end result should be winning more. And to win, you need to get good at competition. Being a good competitor is really a skill in and of itself. To know how to be mentally tough, how to go out there and fight and work hard and run after every ball, how to keep your concentration even when you hit a bad shot. These are all things that you have to work on specifically, and to compete and make, you know, play a game where something's on the line. That's how you get good at that, is by having the experience of a lot of different types of competition under your belt. Now, when you compete in a game, I'm sorry, in a practice, when you're in a practice session with a partner and you've already done your warm-up and your stroke work and now you want to move on to something a little more intense, make sure that you're tailoring your points for specific needs that you have in your game. Now, the kind of staple tennis competition game is just your standard baseline game. Both players stand in the middle of the baseline. One person hits a courtesy feed down the middle, and then you play out the points. And you'll play up to 10 or 11 or 21 or whatever you like to play up to. And that's great. That's a good way to get out there and practice. And it takes the serve and the return out of it, which are two of the, you know, obviously the most important shots in the game. So from that standpoint, it's not great, but it gets things moving quickly. You get from point to point very fast. You don't have to change sides. And so it's a great way to get in a lot of points and take out the serve and the return and just see whose ground strokes are better or whose all-around game, I guess, is better if one person likes to come forwards to the net. That's kind of your basic competitive game in tennis. I want you guys to be able to move past that as well and tailor games specifically for what you need to work on. If you need to work on your overhead, make a game out of it. Have one person start at the net and the other person has to hit two lobs to start off every point. And so the person at the net is going to get at least two overheads per point. The person who's lobbing doesn't have to make it a courtesy shot. They're going to try to hit a tough lob so that the person at the net gets a lot of practice working on their overhead. And they'll switch, play a game up to 10 with one person at the net hitting overheads and the other person playing at least two lobs per point, the first two shots. And then when one player gets to 10, switch. And then the lobber goes up to the net and the original overheader goes back and hits lobs. So there's a good way to work on your overheads. Or if you need to work on volleys, both players can start in the middle of the baseline. One person can feed and then run right in behind the feed. And so the feeder is hitting and moving directly to the net. And the person receiving the feed has to play their first shot back at the approaching player so that at least one volley is going to be hit. You can't hit a clean winner right off the feed. Got to start the point off with at least one volley in play. And then again, play up to 10 points and then switch. Have the other person feed and then approach the net immediately to work on their net game. I just made both those up completely off the top of my head. But the point is, take whatever you need to work on and make sure you work on every part of your game at least a little bit, guys. Don't push aside something that's been bothering you that you're not very good at. You need to work at it. Bring it out into the open and pressure yourself to have to use it by setting up a specific game to work on that stroke. One of my favorite types of competitive games is a volley game where both players start at the net and you're going to use just half of the court, either half of the singles court or half of the doubles court, the entire court all the way back to the baseline. And both players will start on their half and on the service line. And then one player will feed a courtesy shot to the other player in the air. And then the point is played out using just half the court and both players starting up at the service line so that it's mostly volleys and half volleys. That's great for working on your doubles skills when you just have two people at a practice. And my point is here, guys, use your time wisely. When you go to play competitive points in your practice, make sure you vary what you're doing so that you get to work on different parts of your game. Don't play the same type of points every time. It's tempting to just go out and just play a baseline game every single time. All right, stand in the middle of the baseline, I'll feed you a shot. All right, let's play the point. There's nothing wrong with those points, but make sure that you don't get into a rut playing only those type of points every time and saying, all right, good, we got some points in there. We competed and, you know, nice practice. You need to mix it up, guys, and practice the different parts of your game by tailoring specific competitive games specifically. That's redundant. Specifically for whatever part of your game you need to work on. Also, lastly on this topic, make sure that you do put something on it. Put some pressure on it. Sit-ups or push-ups or Gatorade or whatever. $10, you know, whatever is going to motivate you, and put some pressure on the line. Put something on it and make it worth something. And trust me, you won't regret it. Even if you lose, you need to learn how to play with pressure on the line, because when you go out and play that tournament and your friends and family are watching, or maybe you're playing in high school and all your friends from school are there watching and your teammates are watching, you need to know how to play under pressure. And so putting something on the line when you play your practice points is a great way to get used to doing that.
The Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by
Bridgewater Medical Group. Is a multi-specialty medical group located in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and is your home for primary care, gastroenterology, sports medicine, and general internal medicine. They offer a broad array of on-site, state-of-the-art services to make your healthcare experience more pleasurable. Scheduled appointments are preferred, but physician assistants are available for walk-in care. For more information, call Bridgewater Medical Group at 908-722-0808.
For more information on sponsors of the Essential Tennis Podcast or to become a sponsor, visit www.essentialtennis.com. And now, back to the show.
All right, the last piece of the puzzle in our quality workout and practice model here is match play. Yes, you should compete in general, and play points out that specify a certain part of your game or are focusing on a certain part of your game that you need to work on, whether it be your volleys, your overheads, your doubles, your return of serve, whatever. Make sure that you compete and focus on different parts of your game. However, after you've done that, regular match play is very important in the practice as well. Regular match play is the culmination of everything else that we've done in our practice. This is what it's kind of coming down to. This is where the rubber meets the road. If you can't take all of this good practice and then put it into your match play and have it pay off in the end in your match play, then we're wasting our time. So we need to take all the different things that we worked on from the warm-up to the stroke work to the competitive points where you're working on different parts of your game, you need to take all those things and now put them together and play regular scoring games. And this is important to practice as well, because it's different than everything else. There's a lot of guys, there's a lot of players out there that are good practice players, but they can't compete. They're great at going out and just hitting the ball when there's nothing on the line, and they're great at just crushing ground strokes back and forth. There's no pressure, there's no target, there's no keeping track of score. They're just hitting the ball. And that's a waste of time. You guys need to use your time more wisely. We're all busy people, and don't make the mistake of going out there for an hour and not having specific goals and targets in place for your practice. And match play should be one of those things. You need to spend time continuing to be comfortable, whether it be your in-between point routine where you work on moving to the other side and keeping your focus, or whether it be working on breaking your opponent's serve and working on your returns, or maybe serving and volleying is something you've been working on mixing into your play. These are all things that you can do during your practice play where, you know, there's something on the line. You're not trying to lose, obviously. You're trying to win, and yet it's not real competition. You're not playing a tournament, and so you're free to go out there and practice things that you need to work on without having to worry about it, quote unquote, counting. Certainly, we still want to win, but this is where you go to practice actually playing a match. And again, this is something that a lot of players overlook. They go out there and just hit balls back and forth, and they never really practice playing a match. And ultimately, this is what all our practice should come down to, is being good match, tough players. It's a vital part of your practice routine. Okay, that does it for Essential Tennis Podcast, episode number 20. I was really happy to get behind the mic again today after a full week off. And don't worry, I will have a second podcast out this week on Thursday, which is going to be the 14th of August. So look for episode 21 to be out probably on Thursday evening. I have segments lined up both with Dr. Jack and Jeremy, the string guru. So we've got some great content coming your way from both of them. And in the meantime, if you guys have any questions about your tennis game, and if you'd like help improving your game and winning more points and more matches, you can always feel free to drop me an email, or you can post your question at the forums at essentialtennis.com. Make sure to go over there during this week and check out the new blog postings, both by myself and Jeremy. There's lots of stuff there that can help you guys improve your tennis game. That's our goal for all of you listening. We want you to be better tennis players. So until Thursday, I hope you guys have a great week. Thank you so much for joining me today. Take care and good luck with your tennis.